And the stock market opened lower today as the price of oil continues to free fall. Here in the U.S., a barrel of West Texas Intermediate sank yesterday below zero for the first time in history to negative $37 a barrel. For more, let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure on member station VPM. And Robin, first of all, let's talk about what it means to see oil actually negative dollars a barrel. Many of us have never seen this in our lifetime.
Yeah, if you cut away all the trading lingo esoterica, it means fundamentally that there's a panic in the market that is rapidly running out of space to store the stuff. It keeps gushing out to the tune of 100 million barrels a day globally. And if you look at the chief U.S. storage hub in Cushing, Oklahoma, the capacity there is 80 million barrels. It only has about, less than 2 days of American production left in terms of storage ability until it overflows. And overseas, there's no space left in the Caribbean and South American, in sub-Saharan Africa. I think I should have gone into the oil tanker business, Tanya.
How much of this is because people aren't driving anymore due to the coronavirus versus how much it is because of the price war we recall in Saudi Arabia and Russia that got into earlier this year and that overflow you're talking about?
I mean, this is truly demand destruction. Saudi Arabia and Russia and OPEC, they reluctantly came to production cuts recently. They don't even go into effect until next month. But on the demand side, you're seeing a pullback unlike anything we've seen in recent or even further back history. Far fewer trucks and cars on the road. The skies are kind of bereft of airplanes. And we haven't turned down the taps anywhere near where it's necessary to hit an equilibrium. I saw a stat that, the demand fall just for this month is three times what we're seeing the promised OPEC cuts as. So we got a lot more to cut.
You know what? According to a recent report from the Dallas Federal Reserve, $50 a barrel is the average break-even point for Texas producers specifically. Obviously, we're way below that now. Are there going to be a lot of defaults in the coming year from this industry?
I think there will. But if you look at this, what's really interesting is that these guys are much more resilient, or they really don't have a choice in terms of shutting down wells at this point. It's just proving harder and more painful to shut down these wells in the United States oil patch. The equipment, for one, is expensive to move and to mothball. The banks behind these wildcatting firms, they're demanding service on their heavy debt payments, so you don't exactly have autonomy to shut them off. And we know that if you do shut them off and prices shoot back up, you can't exactly turn them back on overnight. So for the time being, at least, they keep gushing.
You know what? In the past, of course, we've heard murmurs about oil and gas getting a bailout. Do you think that's even back on the table right now?
It's a strange beast that shows you how far the United States has come in kind of 12 years to be the world's leading, oil producer. You are going to see some sort of unanimity between Texas and Oklahoma and the White House that we have to help our domestic producers somehow. But the paradox is to help them, we have to hurt them in the meantime. We have to tell them all to shut down. And I'm just not so sure the public would be willing to chomp down on this broad bailout of the U.S. oil patch.
Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure at member station VPM. Robin, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.